Job chapter 14, and we are, of course, moving along in this book of Job, and I hope that you are not going to get or grow weary of the book of Job. I want to promise you that we are touching on many topics from many other passages of Scripture as we go through the book of Job. So we're not just stuck in one book. These are actually a lot of foundational principles that are throughout the Scriptures. And I think a lot of times it's usually flip-flopped. Like people will point out a truth or a principle in another book of the Bible, and then they'll use Job to support that truth. We're just doing it the other way around is all we're doing this way. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, Job chapter 14, just the first six verses. I mentioned last week I have six neat little points to give to you. So we're going to give them to you. It doesn't mean that it's going to take any less time. All right, just going to, you know, it's just going to be there. So there we go. First six verses of Job 14. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. We could just pray and say amen right there, right? Okay, be done. He cometh forth like a flower. That's odd, right? He's being flowers. That's usually the case, right? Because they could have said like a tree or a vine or a, you know, but a flower. A man cometh forth as a flower. All right. And is cut down, he fleeth also as a shadow, and continueth not. And dost not thou open thine eyes upon such an one, and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest, till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. Now, remember, chapter and verse markings did not exist when this was written. Certainly Job didn't think that as this was going on, you know, okay, Eliphaz, you had your chapter. Now I get two chapters to respond, you know, and Bildad, you had your chapter, and now I get two chapters to respond. You know, it didn't go like that, right? And certainly, as Job was rebuttaling, he didn't say, okay, in my first chapter of rebuttal, I'm going to talk to you, Eliphaz. And in my second chapter of rebuttal, I'm going to talk to God. Okay, it didn't go like that necessarily. So the last thing that we read in chapter 13 was he was talking about God, and he was asking him some hard questions. And kind of asking God to show up and to answer. But remember that for a moment he said, look, God, you answer and I'll listen. And then he said, you listen or I'll answer and you listen. And he didn't give him much time to answer. He just went ahead and talked. And so at the very end there in verse 28, he says, about the difficulties he was going through. He said about God that God was as a rotten thing that consumeth and as a garment that is moth-eaten. So he's talking about just the way he's feeling and how he's feeling broken down and being consumed by the judgment that God is putting upon him. And really the silence of why the judgment was coming was just kind of eating at him. Okay? And so he was talking about that. At the end of the chapter. So then he says this statement, which, by the way, this is a statement we're all familiar with. It's often quoted, or just people in general know about this statement. Remember, we're discovering that in the book of Job, there are a lot of these statements out there, okay? And so he says this very popular statement, or very well-known statement, man that is born of a woman, is of few days and full of trouble. So we're looking forward to just the general Bible portrait of mankind, all right, that Job is giving in relationship to God. So if you think about God and you think about how God views things, remember, God is not bound by his own creation. Right? God is outside of that bubble, if you will, called time that he created that we live in. All right? And so God sees all, right? I mean, he sees it's not like, oh, well, that was, 1000 BC. Now that's done. And now we're, over here in, 2025. And God sees all. I mean, I know it's hard to realize that, right? But he sees all of it as if it's happening simultaneously. You know, it's just an odd way to think about it. But we've got to kind of figure that out, that man is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Okay, so this seems like moments. And that's why he uses something like a flower in verse 2, because this flowers, they don't last very long. How many of you gentlemen have bought flowers for your wife, right? Okay, or ladies, you've received flowers, hopefully, okay? That's wonderful, but they don't last. That's why very early on in our marriage, I switched from buying cut flowers to buying plants. Have longer longevity with plants. And many times they'll flower frequently, more than the 4 or 5 days that you get out of cut flowers. Anyways, that was my own choice, and I guess it was received well. She didn't tell me to stop buying plants and go back to buying flowers, but things like that. Now, over in James, we know... Oh, hi. Stop that. Okay. All right. Over in James, we have chapter 4, verse 14. We know that our life appears for a little while, is what the Bible says. It says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow... For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Folks, we don't have that long. And, just like the request that was made mention of this family, an individual going on a walk and then all of a sudden collapsing and passing away. We don't know how long we have. It is, if you will, relatively short. If you compare it to eternity, it's very short. It is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. It is like a flower that is cut down. It is something very quick, and if you will, a few days and full of trouble. One of my most common statements people make when they talk to me, or I don't know why they make this statement, I can't figure it out, but they say, "Brother Combs, Pastor Combs, Eric, or whatever they call me, are you staying out of trouble?" I don't know why people continually ask me that. Am I one that gets in trouble all the time? Of course, my answer is no. I'm not staying out of trouble. I'm trying to be in as much trouble as I can be all the time. And most of the time I try to give the devil as much trouble as possible, and et cetera. But of course, my personality, I'm going to answer like that, because that's what I do. No, it's the Bible says, I could just say I'm just being biblical, that man's days are few and full of trouble. Okay? And let me just tell you something, folks. As we think about that word trouble, I want you to understand that there is a busyness, there is a commotion, that's what that word really means, all right? There's a continual commotion to the life of mankind. We're not at peace, if you will. We are cursed with a curse, right? There is a barrage of stuff all over the time. If you think about our lives, they're very busy, right? They're very inundated with noise, very inundated with confusion, very inundated with just the cares of this life that just beat at us all the time, right? And really the only peace and solace we find is in God and a relationship with God. And that's what it's talking about when it says that man's days are full of trouble. And so we've got to realize that when we think about the rest in life that we have, it's in God. It's not in the flesh. It's not in the things of this world. It's in the things of God. that we find rest. Over in Isaiah chapter 14, I looked up another one of these words in the Hebrew language that is also translated like this word trouble. It was found here in Isaiah chapter 14. It says, "And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow." Okay? That's that same word, but there it's translated sorrow. Over here in Job it's translated trouble. But it has that same connotation. And who gives us rest from that trouble? God's the one that gives us rest from that trouble. He says, it says here, rest from thy sorrow, from thy fear, and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased? The golden city ceased. And so, I just want to illustrate that life is short and it's full of sorrow, it's full of trouble, it's full of commotion and noise and bondage and opposition and oppression. That's our life. Outside of Jesus Christ, outside of salvation, outside of the peace that we have with God, that's what life is like. Look at verse number 2. Life is filled with uncertainties. We know not what a day brings forth, right? Over in Psalm 103, it says, For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth, for the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know of it no more. That's what our life is. There's such uncertainty in life. Folks, we don't know what's going to happen. And let me tell you a little bit further about the uncertainty of it. We don't know what's going to come of what we do. If you read at all about history and missionaries across the world, there are missionaries who went to serve and follow the call of God who never on this earth knew what came of what they did. You know, we know what has happened, you know, from people like Adoniram Judson and, you know, those people and William Carey Nate Saint, the guy down in, down there, Peru, right? Ecuador, yeah. You know, those people never knew what came of what works that they did. Let me just tell you this, we don't know. You don't know that when you hand out a gospel tract, what's going to happen, I mean, unless you're able to know, unless the next week that person shows up at church. But, you know, sometimes these things aren't acted upon until after we're gone. So we don't, there is so much uncertainty in life. But it is something that we don't necessarily are supposed to know. But the fact is that we don't know. That we do know that life is brief. We do know that we don't know about life fully. Those are things that we do know. We do know that we don't know. I mean, I know that's kind of a paradox of sorts, but can I just tell you that that's a truth? And guess what? It's okay. It's okay because God knows. He knows what our life is full of. He knows what is going on. He is certain about the uncertainties that we don't know. And that's the way God is. So Job is just making some statements here. He says that man is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. By the way, I can just put a little note here that Job is very specific. He says, man that is born of a woman, as if there's any other kind. Right? Anybody ever thought of that with that statement? Okay. Man that is hatched under a rock doesn't have, you know, he has a full life and doesn't have any trouble. You know, that, right? That's the other alternative, I suppose. Look at verse 3. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one and bringest me into judgment with thee? So here's a question
that Job asks. He says, hey, do you open your eyes on such an one? What is he talking about? Well, man that is born of a woman, right? Full of trouble, cometh forth like a flower and cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Do you put your eyes on such an one and bringest me into judgment with thee? Okay, so he's asking God, God, am I any different than any other man? I'm a man born of a woman. My days are few and full of trouble. They appear as a flower and then cut down and flee like a shadow and continueth not. He says, what is the difference between me and any other man born of a woman? And then he says this, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? And he says, not one. Not one. And so really Job is kind of making a case for God, I am going through and experiencing this severe judgment. And I am a man just like any other man. And so you can kind of see this as a why me moment. Right? What? I'm a flower that's cut down. I'm a man born of a woman, few of days and full of trouble. What is it about my life that's causing this great disturbance, this great difficulty? When some people's lives, they just appear, exist, and go away, and doesn't seem to experience anything extremely difficult. You understand what I'm talking about? There are people that seemingly don't go through much at all in life, and then there are people that seem to go through a lot. And by the way, don't just suppose that the people that are going through a lot are more sinful or less sinful than any other of the people that either are going through those things or not going through those things. So Job is just making a statement here. He's making an observation. Turn over to Psalm 51. This is a very familiar psalm to us. Now, in this particular case, a great sin had been committed, right? And a judgment imposed by God. But I want you to listen to some of the things that David says after Nathan the prophet came unto him, after he had gone into Bathsheba. He simply says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me throughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity. And in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, O thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, wilt thou not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. As we think of David and his request, he remembers his frame. And he knows his sin and what he has done. And he knows that God is just in his judgment toward him. Here in Job, Job is saying, look, God, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? He says, not one. So he's saying, God, I can't do this. It's not in me to do this, to either bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing. I can't do that, God. And not one person can do that. No one can justify themselves before God. We are but sinners. We are but cursed. We are but an unclean thing. And all we can ask God to do is to clean us and to cleanse us. All we can ask God to do is to have mercy upon us, right? To restore us as David asked to be restored because of God's restoring work that he does. Look at verse 5. He says, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Not only do we understand that life is short, life is sorrowful, life is filled with uncertainties, life is sinful, if you will. We are born in sin, we continue in sin, and we're going to die that way. But for the grace of God, but for the cleansing of God, but for the salvation of God, we are but sinners. And then another thing is life is limited. You understand that our days are established. Over in Psalm 90, I'm not going to take the time to read all of it. But this is a prayer of Moses, the man of God. It's listed. He says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And by later on there, he says this, for all of our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Our years are limited. God knows how many days you and I have. And by the way, he knows the number of the hairs on our head. And now some of us, it's easier to count than others, right? Right, Michael? Yeah, amen. Right? Okay. And I'm only going to pick on Michael. I'm not going to pick on any of the rest of you that are struggling with that as well. But let me just say this. Our life is limited, and it's limited according to what God has designed. Some, you may get those 70 years. That's 70 years. Some of you are already there. Okay? Some of you are at the by reason of strength 80. 80 years. That's a good amount, right? Some are at 83. Some are at 97. I'm sorry, 98. You just had a birthday, didn't you? In August, right? Or July? August. Yeah, August. I thought so. 98 years. Okay? She's just super strong. Okay, that's all. And but you know what? We don't know how long our frame is going to be. But God does. And guess what? God's the one that has already set that time. You say, well, what does that mean? Did God say, well, I want you to live this long and I only want you to live this long because I like you and I don't like you? No, it has nothing to do with that at all. It just means that all of our times are determined. And then lastly, we must face God with how we live this life. Look at verse 6. He says, turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. Now, every hireling is what? Accountable to his master. And we are accountable to God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Bible tells us, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So you understand that we, as an hireling, we shall accomplish that which God has determined for us to accomplish. And by the way, don't get confused. It's not that God said, okay, you are designed for this and you're going to accomplish this because that's what I want for you to. It's like that, but it's not like that. God already knows what choices we're going to make. God knows if we're going to accept Christ as our Savior or not. God knows if we're going to accomplish His will in our lives or not. So God in His foreknowledge has known these things. And that therefore, He knows how many days I'm going to live. He knows how long my life's going to be. He knows what my life's going to accomplish. Remember, He's the master. We are the creation. He's the creator. We're the creation. He's the master. We're the servant. But we must face God. We are accountable to God. That's why there's a judgment seat of Christ. That's why there's a great white throne judgment. We are going to be accountable to Him no matter what the circumstance, because He's God and we're the creation. We're not God. We're not the ones in charge. He is the one that's in charge. And so Job is mentioning, we're going to get into this a little bit more in depth because there's more things that he has to say about man's relationship with God and God's relationship with man. But just remember that life is short. Life is sorrowful. It's full of trouble. It's filled with uncertainties. It's full of sin and the pitfalls of sin. Life is limited, and that we must face God with how we live this life. He is the one that is in control. And so Job is just bringing these things to mind, maybe just for himself and for his own argument, but maybe for his friends as well, because they have this thing turned upside down and are coming up with things that they think are true about Job's life, which are not true. And so we've got to take note of these things that are mentioned.